hey, yeah. All right, here we go. It is the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast. It's Thursday, December 5th. Welcome, friends. Dave here, and the best damn stuff we could dig out of this show. As always, it's the Daily Podcast. You know the deal. I'm going to give you the lineup of what to expect, and then you're going to hear it, love it, and share it with friends and family the world over, or something like that. That's our fantasy, at least. Okay, Sixers chugging. That's right. We started off with a little day drinking. Then we went to the biggest embarrassment you've ever faced, considering our one and only Steve Vassalotti decided he didn't have enough to eat at our big company dinner the other night. He decided to put his foot in his mouth. At the end of it, upon conversing with our CEO, song stories today featured I Hear You Knocking. John had some Christmas balls to drop on you. We previewed the big annual Christmas contest starting next week. And actor and comedian Rob Schneider called us up this morning, had a great chat with him. This is what it all sounded like. It is the Daily Podcast.
I came across a story this morning, Steve, and I know you're going to love. Dave, you'll like it too, but it's really more along Steve. Do you remember Lou Williams?
Yeah,
Lou Williams, the Sixers
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Show you love.
Okay. At the time that he was playing for the Sixers, he was making a paltry $450,000 a
right.
year. So to supplement his income, he used to get into these things with Iverson, Chris Webber, and Matt Barnes. And right. one time, they're headed from wherever, okay. right, to the airplane to go to, you know, some city to play somebody.
Sure.
As they're going there, they bet him $15,000 that he could not down a six-pack of beer before they got to the airplane.
What?
He made $15,000.
Yeah, that sounds so simple.
Nice. Yeah, really.
Well, it might have been a way for them to go, oh, gee, he only makes $450,000.
Yeah. Was he not a drinker or something? Was there an added element to this?
Well, since he bet $15,000, even though he wasn't a drinker at all. Essentially, he was fresh out of high school at the time.
Oh, well, that does make it kind of cool.
Right. You know,
that's awesome. You're a Sixer. Crush a Sixer.
Right, there you go. 15 grand. Right, Steve would do it for a dollar.
The John DeBella Podcast.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
102.9 MGK.
Let me get this straight. Uh-huh. The other night, we all go out to dinner for a dinner for Debbie, and some of the corporate people are there. You turned to Carolyn.
Steve did, yeah.
Right, Steve.
Yeah.
You turned to Carolyn, the CEO of the company.
Yeah.
All right, right. Carolyn Beasley.
Yeah.
You turned to her and called her what?
Heidi.
I was there for this wonderful occurrence, by the way.
And I hadn't really spoken to her all night because everybody else was talking to her.
She was at the opposite end of the table.
Yeah, and she's about to leave, and I just said bye to Heidi, who was another hire up here. And I went to Carolyn. I was like, oh, it was great seeing you tonight. Bye, Heidi. Caroline, oh no, I see you twice a year.
And
I've only had two glasses of wine. And
they are as different as Laurel and Hardy.
Oh my God.
Right, very much so.
Right, they are. Heidi is gigantic.
Yep.
She's got to be like 6'1", 6'2".
Yep.
Caroline is
petite.
On a good day, she hits 5 feet.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and that's in heels. Right. And if she's soaking wet, she might hit 75 pounds. All right. You know, wonderful woman. But you called her Heidi.
Yeah.
And this is unalike.
I know. This is a lady that I never see. So it's like, hey, it's the CEO. Make a good impression. You only see her twice a year. See ya, Heidi.
The cringe was visceral.
Oh,
I felt
no!
it across the table.
Yeah. So
and
when,
I laughed greatly.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
To be honest with you, the first thing I thought of was, I can't wait to tell this story on the air. Oh, it was so embarrassing.
Well, I mean, everybody has had that embarrassment somewhere along the line. I mean, I've said some things on the air that I've been embarrassed by. One of them had to do with Ray Charles once, right? You know, someone said, you know, something about it, and I said, well, it's not like he could see it. So, Cindy, did you hear what Steve did to our CEO?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, right. Our CEO, Caroline, right, who he decided to call Heidi.
Well, it's close.
All right. Someone texts in, Steve. Obviously, Steve doesn't want to have the same longevity as Debbie.
Well, I survived flipping off our GM, so we'll see.
You have a knack for this.
Yeah, I know.
He's real good at this. What about yourself, Sin? You have an embarrassing thing, your embarrassing moment.
Well, Steve's story completely reminded me of a trauma from a few months ago. My mom passed away. I got a beautiful arrangement of flowers from corporate for my company. And for some reason, over the years, the regional manager, whose last name is Clay, in my mind, I started to think that was his first name.
Okay.
So I sent him a thank you note with
Dear Clay.
Yes, that first. And then I realized it, and I sent another one immediately afterwards with the same message, hoping he wouldn't notice.
That's funny.
Dave, you got one?
I guess for me, the first thing I thought of was back when I was a drummer. We had a showcase, which is like the big event. All the A&R guys come,
right,
the labels
right.
all there. We're all basically saying, this is who we are, this is what we have. And the first song, I decided to do a stick trick, which is always a douchey idea.
Right.
I flubbed the stick trick, and it didn't just like, you know, fall between my lap. It spun out and bounced off the stage into the audience, into basically the lap of our corporate office, which was right in the front row. I was like, I cannot believe I just did that.
And now you work in radio. Why?
Exactly. Yeah. We love the act. The drummer sucks.
We have all had them, and a lot of times you can look back and laugh at them, and that's exactly what we want to do this morning. We had a dinner party the other night, and it was just the air staff and a couple of the managers, along with our CEO and the head of publicity and what would be a PR director?
CCO. So
yeah, CCO?
Yeah. Communications officer.
Communications officer.
It's military.
All right, right. And we're all sitting there, and then Steve decides he's just got to embarrass the hell out of all of us by referring to our CEO, who is Caroline Beasley.
Yeah, it wasn't even in passing either. It was a full-on, see ya, Heidi.
And it was the only time we interacted with her the whole night, because she was at the other end of the table, so which made it extra bad.
It was
see
bad.
Ya, Heidi. It's really. See how mean, grandfather Caroline. And the little goats were also?
Yeah. At least I didn't call her Bruce or Brian, her brothers.
That's true. So we've got a bunch of people who have lined up on the phone who are going to tell us about their embarrassing situations, because we've all done it.
Oh, yeah.
At some point in time, there's some place where you go totally wrong. I've got to tell you the one that happened with Lisa. The one that happened with Lisa is just, this is the best, because she rarely is embarrassing situations. Right, but let me get to Matt here first. Good morning, Matt. How you doing?
Good, man. How about yourself?
I'm making it through. So we've heard of Steve's embarrassing situation. What was yours?
Well, I just got this job at Boscov's, and I do customer pickup. This guy ordered a mattress, took out the mattress to his car, and I tied it to the car for him. I ended up tying his driver's door shut so he couldn't even get in the driver's door to drive away. He had to climb in through the back with his 2-year-old son in the back seat and drive away like that.
Now, were there any other coworkers with you doing this that saw this whole thing?
No, of course, my manager let me do it myself.
Oh, no!
Yeah. Wow. Pretty damn embarrassing. He said, oh, no problem, dude. I said, oh, dude, I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry.
What about yourself, Tom, your embarrassing moment?
My embarrassing moment was I was a wrestler and I dislocated my knee in front of about 1,500 people. It was a big wrestling match, a 75-win streak. I had the opportunity to beat the guy. Went out, I was wrestling heavyweight. Dislocated my knee in front of all these people. My mom was the first person down on the mat.
Oh, God!
Oh, no!
And I looked up at her, and I said, get the F out of here. And she embarrassed me so bad, I'd never live that down. I still hear it.
All right, Tom, yourself?
I was student teaching at the time, and I had to remind the kids, it was written on the board, that they had a TAP test the next day, TAP.
TAP?
Yes.
I've never heard of a TAP test. What is a TAP test?
Don't even remember what that stands for.
Okay.
So later in the day, for whatever reason, I had to switch classrooms. And when I have a mostly girls, juniors and seniors, and you know the end of the class rolls around, and I remind the kids, hey, don't forget tomorrow you got to have your PAP test.
Oh, God! Oh, God, Tom!
I had to just pretend I dropped something behind my desk so I could duck. Nobody could see how red my face was.
I love that you created a diversion to get out of it.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Kerry, your most embarrassing moment.
Well, actually, I'm going to embarrass someone else. We had an IT guy fly in from Canada to our Lancaster PA store. He had an unusual Frenchy name. It looked like Claude on paper, but he said Claude, with his name.
Yeah. Okay.
Claude. So he flies in the middle of the summer to work on our computers, and the manager walks up and says, hi, how are you? And he says, I'm Claude. And she goes, oh, well, I'll turn the air conditioning down a bit. Yeah, what a great first impression.
Have a great morning. Is this the old Tom show today?
I think so.
We've got another Tom here.
Wow.
Tom, all right, your most embarrassing moment.
This was about 10 years ago, and it was during Christmas. I was out of town on a trip, and me and my wife were emailing each other, and I had ordered something for her from a JCPenney catalog center.
Okay.
Well, she emailed me back saying, I miss you. I can't wait for you to come home. So I surprised her, and I emailed her back with a couple naked pictures. What happened, though, right before I emailed her back, JCPenney catalog sent me a follow-up email, and my email went to them instead of her.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Here's my JC penis.
Yeah. I didn't realize it until afterwards, and I emailed her right away and apologized, and I said, I'm so sorry. Well, they sent me back another email saying, we appreciate the Christmas gift.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's great.
We got some texts in from people. Sky Boo says, I farted at the altar.
Oh, no.
At my wedding ceremony. And it was so loud, my deaf uncle heard it.
Right? That was the organ.
Right. Priest said, God bless you, son. It's okay.
Oh, boy.
What happened with Lisa?
I was just going to say, what happened with Lisa? Spill
so
the beans.
We're down the shore. It's the first time we're down the shore. Mm-hmm. Right? Casey is like 9 or 10 years old.
Okay.
Right? Falls in love with the ocean. It's like a religious experience for him. And he has a little, wakeboard, right, that he's got tied to his wrist. Right? And every time he's out there, Lisa's constantly trying to wave him back in. You know, come on back. Get you far in the water. Come on back.
Being a mom.
Right. So he's standing there just waving. Hi. Yeah, I see you too. Right. So he goes in, and eventually his back's to the water. He gets hit by a wave. Right. Goes under. But he's got the board still strapped to him. So now he's being dragged underwater. Uh-huh. Well, Lisa, like it's Baywatch. Heads for, and she's in a tank. She's in a tank bathing suit, and heads for the water. Uh-huh. She's got a pair of like really expensive sunglasses on with her. Right. Goes looking for kids. Puts her hand in the water, pulls him out. Dragging up, and she's. I kept telling you to come in. And Casey's going, Ma, right? And now she can't find her sunglasses. Where are my sunglasses, Ma? Right now, why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you come in, Ma? And she goes, What? And he points. And one whole boob.
Oh, no!
Is just hanging out right there for all the world to see. It was a proud moment for me.
The Jersey Shore MILF.
Right, they're very pretty. Right? You know? So it's like, yeah, that's my wife right there. And Lisa, one boob.
The John DeBella Podcast.
A bird and the hands were two in the bush.
102.9.
I have no bird. I have no bush. God has taken my bird and my bush.
MGK. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by A Better Financial Plan. Looking for double-digit returns? Look no further at betterfinancialplan.com. As a single in Britain, I Hear You Knocking, what was like a number one hit. It was a big hit here in the United States. But most people don't realize that I Hear You Knocking was written in New Orleans by a New Orleans great by the name of Dave Bartholomew, and he did it with Earl King. All right, and it was sung by a local singer, a guy by the name of Smiley Lewis. That became a hit at that time. And then there was this TV actress, Gail Storm. I remember the Gail Storm show. My mother used to watch it all the time when I was a kid, right? She recorded it as well, became a number two hit in America. By the time the rock and roll audience heard about it, these people were long dead. Huh. We never knew this song was a cover song, and Dave Edmunds recorded this thing in this tiny little studio, well, it was basically in his house at a time where nobody had studios in their house. Here's Dave.
What I can remember about I Hear You Knocking is the studio I did it in was not a professional recording studio. It was just a little setup owned by a friend of mine, which later became Rockfield Studios. I did that mostly myself. I didn't quite know what I was after, and I kept re-recording it, gradually pruning down. I started off with bass, drums, guitar, and piano. I think the drums went all together, and I ended up just playing a hi-hat and a small tom. So it's a very odd-sounding record. The sound in my head eventually got onto wax, but it was a strange process to do it.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
It's going to start Monday morning, As a matter of fact, we can tell you now it's going to start at 7:40 Monday morning. Busmach Christmas Balls. It is back once again, and we've got the best gifts ever this year. His and Her Cannondale bikes from Keswick Cycle. Brian from Keswick Cycle every year gives us a set of these bikes.
He's the man. Right. Love
He's
that guy.
Just a great guy. How about front row TSO tickets and a meet and greet pass, right, for the family, along with a guitar, courtesy of Parallel Windows and Doors. Plus, there's a four-day, three-night trip to Punta Cana and the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. You just heard Debbie down there for a week last week. Well, you know what? It could be you this time. 7:40 Monday morning, bust my Christmas balls, but keep track, because if you pick a ball that's already been busted, the best you're going to get is cold.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
102.9 MGK.
This Friday night for two shows, this gentleman will be at the Sellersville Theater. One show at 6, one at 9. And you can get tickets through st94.com. Rob Schneider's on the phone. Hi, Rob.
Hi, good morning, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good, good. I got to be kind of quiet because I have a three-year-old because I'm an idiot.
Well, you're talking to two other idiots then, because we both have almost three-year-olds as well.
It's great being an older dad. You have so much more in common with your kid. You know what I mean? Both need help getting out of the tub, you know. Both cry for no reason. Both wake up, have no idea where you are.
And any day now, you'll probably be wetting your pants as much as he does.
Exactly. Exchange diapers. How are things in Philly?
Things in Philly are pretty damn good. When was the last time you were here?
God, I remember being booed. I went to a baseball game, and then I remember getting booed. I was at a football game, and I just remember, you know, I think I was at a baseball game with St. Louis Cardinals were playing, and I just remember the fans booing Santa. And then they booed the kids who were bringing out the equipment. And I went like, man, this is a great town. I love it here. This is a town that just is not intimidated and doesn't have to kiss butt.
Well, that's for damn sure.
I suffered along with all the Philadelphia Eagle fans. I will say, after you guys won the Super Bowl,
right,
I noticed the difference in all my Philadelphia. They just finally, like, it was such a sigh of relief, you know.
It was a weight. Like, the weight was gone.
Right.
I even noticed, like, the real estate prices started to go up. You know? My friends started shaving, taking better care of themselves, going to the gym. They just realized they had something to lose now after that. You know what I mean?
You're originally from San Francisco, aren't you?
Yeah. So we had that monkey lifted off our back back in the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
We lost in the playoffs like 3 years in a row.
Uh-huh.
And it literally like was crushing. I mean, businesses started leaving San Francisco. It was kind of everybody went to a funk. I like the new team, but they moved into Santa Clara, which is a nice area, but it's hot.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got these fat 49er fans going to a place where it's hot, and they're sitting, and it's still cold in the morning, but then by like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, it's like 90 degrees, and these guys are having heart attacks out there. It's unbelievable. They're in the sun, sweating, you know, they have to have umbrellas. I mean, you have to protect your fat fans. You know what I mean? They're going to have a franchise.
Now, being a kid from San Francisco and now living in L.A., I mean, and you've been in L.A. for a while, but is there a compare and contrast? Is there one that you prefer?
San Francisco's a nice little gay town. I like it. It's nice, and it's been very good to me. A lot of my good friends were there. And Los Angeles is very accepting of people moving in constantly. You know, San Francisco was a little snobby, but in a good way. You know,
okay.
They had their neighborhoods and stuff. Like, I remember when, like, a Gap opened in Haight-Ashbury, people protested. It's like, who protests a clothing store open? You know? Like, you have to have a lot of time on your hands and get angry over very little stuff. That's what was happening, but it was very open-minded and very great.
Before you go, I got to ask you one thing, and that is, how did the You Can Do It come along? Did it start in Waterboy? Is that the first place? And how many movies did it pop up in?
Yeah, it was Waterboy, and I honestly didn't know what it was, and I didn't understand it, and Adam said it would be funny if he showed a few times. I think the whole thing was just to make sure that Adam would have, you know, me getting yelled at on the street by people from 15 years old. You Can Do It. Pretty much, yeah. Still happening.
Well, this coming Friday night, Rob Schneider will be at the Sellersville Theater.
It'll be fun, man. We have two shows, I think, at 6 o'clock. So the old people, get over there. Thanks for having me, John. Take care.
It's time once again for
the John DiBella Podcast.
We have a big show, a real big shoe.
Yep. John DiBella.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.